I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have allowed us to be here once again so we can hear the word of God, so we can understand what God wants us to be doing in our life, so that we can live in a relationship with God. It's very important. So we thank God again that He's allowed us to be here. So the word of God says, men shall not live on bread alone, but by all the words which comes from the mouth of God. So it is very important, and it is the key that we always nourish our souls with the word of God, because the Bible says, men shall not live on bread alone, but by all the words which comes from the mouth of God. So it's not only the food, physical food we need, but we need to feed our spirit with the word of God, so that we live by the word of God and continue to understand what God speaks to us about on a daily basis, so we live a life which God wants us to live. So it's very important that if on a daily basis we speak the word which God wants us to speak in our life, and we continue to declare in our life the word of God which God wants us to declare. Do not wait on a Sunday only to hear the word of God, or wait on a particular day where your church is having a service, but every day you have to understand, or you have to live by the word of God, and really individually as a person continue to seek God, continue to seek His ways, continue to understand who God is in your life, and continue to believe in His word. One thing I have found very important, which many Christians find difficult, is to believe in the word of God. So we have to believe in the word of God, and we have to continue to understand that every day as we live on this earth, we always face challenges and difficulties, but your task is to stand firm and to be able to withstand whatever it is that the devil throws on you. We want to thank God because he gives us that opportunity that we hear him speak every day in our life through the scripture or through the Bible. So that's what it is, your challenge, to know that every day before you hear anyone speak, hear what God says in your life. Let him declare what you want, what he wants you to be doing in your life. So I want us to understand that every day and on a daily basis, make sure that before you engage yourself in anything, make sure that you hear what God says to you, or what God is speaking to you about. That's very, very important. So we have that opportunity, and we have that choice to be able to hear God speak every day in the scriptures. So that as the day goes by, God already spoken to you. Before you speak to anyone, God has already spoken to you. Before you hear anything, God has already spoken to you. Before you engage in any conversation, God has already engaged himself in a conversation with you. I think that's transformational. That's very important. And I was saying the other day that most of us, we have got quite a lot of sometimes messages in our inbox, whether they are WhatsApp, whether they are SMS messages, we've got quite a lot of them, which comes. But respond to those already after you have heard what God wants you to hear. You see, so that your day is controlled by God, or God, takes control of your day. So that's very, very important. But all I'm just saying here is that it can only happen when we have already understood that we are the children of God. Remember, last week I was talking about the knowledge being something which we can know. And there's some knowledge where we can know that how can we do, the how part of the knowledge on how to do something, and also the part of the knowledge where we display by actually doing what the knowledge is all about. So we as Christians, we need to be actually demonstrating what God wants us to be doing. That's very, very important. So today, as we continue to hear the word of God,
We want to continue what we were talking about last week. Last week we were talking about becoming. So we said becoming is very important in the sense that it's transformational. You are at this place and you want to go to that place. What happens in between is actually you do something about it, you travel. So if you are here and you want to be this person, there's a transformation which needs to happen. You know, when you are not a Christian and you want to be a Christian, something in between is transformational. There's something which will happen for you to become that person who God wants you to be, or that person who you aspire to be. So there's a process which happen for that to happen. So now listen, if you are just someone who is hearing the word and you think that the word will transform you, and you are not putting an effort, you can as well forget about it, because there are certain things which you have to do. You have to demonstrate that you are actually doing it. It's very important. So we are going to look closely today into the issue of becoming or transformational, and the issue of resistance, because that's where the problem is. That, you know, God speaks to us and God wants us to be these people He wants us to be, but you know, we resist what God says. But I want to also demonstrate to you that unless if you transform, unless if you move to another level, unless if you have traveled, unless if you have you have done something, you will always remain the same. So it's about this process of transformation which leads us to become something. That's what is very important. But you know, sometimes we resist the process. When we resist the process, it means that we remain the same. So many Christians, we've got Christians who are Christians by the name a Christian. That obviously I just go to church or I just believe in the word. But they have resisted the transformational part of the journey, where you can be transformed to be a different person. That's why you see sometimes someone, you know, even before he was a Christian, he used to be someone who does something. But let's say, give an example, someone who gossiped. But even when they were Christians, they continued to gossip, which means there's no transformation has happened. No change has happened. So you can think about anything or how you were before. And if you are still that same person, which means the word of God has not really transformed you, and we have not engaged in the process. So it's very important that we engage in the process of change, because it is a change. Remember when we were talking about the word of God last week, when we were talking about the other week before, I believe, when we were talking about the word of God, where Elisha, when he met Elijah put the cloak on him, and he was actually plowing at the time. But he went on to slaughter all the cows and, you know, used all the yokes and started to burn, you know, to create fire so that they can cook that meat and leave everything and started following Elijah. So meaning that was the transformation which he had to go through. And he had to do something about it for him to be able to follow Elijah, and that he could be his helper. You see, so there's a transformational process. Unless if you do not involve in the transformational process, you will be knowing that I am just a Christian, but I don't engage in all the processes which God wants me to engage, and I still just call myself as a Christian. So what you then find, we've got two categories of Christians, where Christians who have engaged in the process of change and transformational to be the children who God wants them to be. And we've got Christians who are just Christians by the name. I don't engage in any process. I resist what God says. I don't think it's very important. And I'll remain as I am, but I'm a Christian. So you see, from there onwards, you can actually see that there's a problem there. Because that's why you see many people always want to quote certain verses, but they don't really apply in their life. Why? Because they have not gone through the process which God wants them to go through, so that the verse becomes part of them. The verse becomes compatible to them. So on the Wednesday, so Friday, last week in the cell group, we're talking about the word of God, which the Bible says in the book of Exodus. I always want to quote Exodus because I think it gives us a very basic understanding of how people can be transformed by God. The Bible says when God was speaking to the children of Israel, and remember, the children of Israel already at this time, they've already crossed the sea. God has performed miracles already with them. And God has demonstrated that He is God. He's demonstrated His power beyond any doubt. Okay, so God is now speaking to the children of Israel. Now, He is now saying to them, the ones He has saved. He says, you know, if you faithfully obey my voice, if you keep the terms of my covenant, among all the nations, so among all the people, you'll be my treasured possession. So that's Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. So you can actually see there, God is giving two choices. He says either you are going to be my treasured person, possession, or you can just going to be any other. I hope you are following me, because that's exactly what it is. So God put choice or give choice. See, if you faithfully keep my covenant, if you obey my voice, that's one criteria which God wanted them to meet. See, then among other people, you'll be my treasured possession. So meaning that God was actually saying that everyone, he regarded them as His people. But it calls for you to do something to be God's special possession. So it calls for the transformation to happen for you then to become the child who God wants you to be. That's very simple. But that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly what it means to us. You see, I believe when we understand what God wants us to do and we understand the transformational process of God's word, then it will help us really to become the children who God wants us to be. You see, and I will explain to you in this sermon why it's important that we engage in the transformational process. You see, because the issue is not only about here on earth, but the issue is about what God will say about us if we continue to resist what His word says to us. You see, so I think it's very important that we continue to understand that, and we understand that, and we engage in the whole process. So in the Word of God, we have seen people who have engaged in the process of God's change or transformational change, and they became different people from who they were before. So Elisha became, not only Elisha, but he became a man who was used by God in so many ways, because he had engaged in the process of transformation. You see. So here's the thing I will tell you exactly. Many people then will always want to beg God, or always want to ask God for them to be the product who they want to be, but they have not engaged in the process. You see, the Bible says resist evil, and when you resist the evil, then the devil will flee away. But many people are always wanting to engage in the evil things, but they also want the devil to be away from them. No, the devil cannot be away, because you are doing something which is attracted, which is got attraction to the devil. You see, so I want you to understand one thing. It's either you're a Christian who is going to engage in the process of change to be the child who God wants you to be, or you can be a Christian who is resistant to what God is actually saying. So those are two forms of Christians who can be. And those forms of Christians can be found in the church, can be found in the world. You can find them everywhere you go. And wherever you gather and worship God. You see, so my word today is really to for you to understand that there is a need, there's a real need why you should engage in the process of change to be the child God wants you to be, not only here on earth, but also in the future, in the kingdom of God. Very important. So today we are going to open two verses. And I want, see, the thing is, we have to understand, how is it, see, the Bible says, how is it beneficial to gather all the things of the world and then you lose your own soul? You see, so when you are a Christian, you need to understand that you are not only working that I can have a comfortable life here on earth, but you're also working beyond that to think about the kingdom of God. You see, because we are not this world will pass. I mean, if we will all come to a point where we have to face God at some point. So it means that we prepare ourselves and live a life which God will recognize, or which Jesus will then be a witness for us, that this is my child, you see, before God. Remember, my sheep knows my voice. Remember, my sheep knows my voice. And that there's a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. So that at the end of time, Jesus will not say, I don't know you, because already you have a relationship. That's what we were talking about. So we can see in our series and in our teaching, which we have already done about that that word, about my sheep knows my voice. So we are going to read the two scriptures. Now I'll explain to you why. And remember again, we are talking in the context of how can we be able to worship this God, because the children of Israel, when they were engaged in the process of going from the land of captivity, they were still worshipping other gods. They were still relying on other gods, yet the God of Israel, God himself, was with them. So I want us to understand this, that we have to look into ourselves and see that there are certain things we may be engaged in which does not really reflect the fact that we are true Christians. So every day we need to look into ourselves. That's why Jesus, when he came here on earth, he came and says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. But when he was talking about this word, he was actually talking in the synagogues. So synagogues were, you know, like this modern day we can call church, or people will gather and just worship God. But Jesus started to preach the repentance in the people who were actually worshiping God. So it's very important that we self examine every day as Christians and see whether we are still compatible with what the Word of God is actually saying. It's very important. But today mainly we are going to read two scriptures, and I want us to understand that, remember, transformation from this to there, what happens in between is actually a transformation. When you want to go from point A to point B, you have to travel for you to see yourself at point B. So in the Christian world, and also as a Christian, there's something which has to happen between A and B. You have to be transformed. You have to engage in the change process. And it's very important. So we are going to read the Bible. We are going to read the Bible today from the book of Genesis. So let us all open our Bibles from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 24. Genesis chapter 3. So, Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says, in fact, I will start from verse 24 so we can actually understand the story. So, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. Verse 22 says, then the Lord God said, now the man has become like one of us, and he has knowledge of what is good and what is bad. He must not be allowed to take fruit from the tree that gives life. Eat it and live forever. So the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden and made him cultivate the soil from which he had been formed. Then at the east gate of the garden, he put living creatures and a flaming sword, which turned in all directions. This was to keep anyone from coming near the tree that gives life. You understand where we are going with this, and so basically what it is, I will just explain a bit more before we move on to the next scripture, so you can understand what I'm saying. So here we know about the story of the Garden of Eden. We know Adam and Eve, and we know what happened. God had actually said, he has put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he said, this is what you can do, and this is what you can't do. You can eat all the fruits of the trees, but this particular one, you don't have to eat it. Don't eat it. So here's the thing. So as we all know, they went on to eat the fruit of the forbidden fruit, which God had said do not eat, and they became what God did not want them to be, because the Bible says then, you know, they are now like us. They can see, they know what is good, what is bad. That's what the Bible says. And now, what is very important, what we need to understand. Now, I don't know yourself, but I think it's something which you need to go and see yourself. What the Garden of Eden was like. So when you read the Bible, you find that it was a beautiful place. It had all things which Adam needed, and God created a wife, or I'll say a helper for him. And so it was a beautiful place, and everything they wanted was there, and it was a beautiful. All they needed to do was just work in the garden, because that's what the Bible says. But here's the thing. When they had actually sinned before God, God chased them away. Very important. That's where you get it now from verse 24, where the Bible says they took them out of the garden. And then the Bible says they put the creatures with a flaming sword. Other scriptures and other translation says they put the angels who are guiding. So in other words, what it meant is that now God had created this place and had put men in there, but men had now sinned, so God removed the men. But I like something very particular about this. They said, so that they moved them and they put the flaming sword, so that it was a kind of like a guide or a security, so that no one will have access to the tree of life. That's what's very important. So that no one will have access to the tree of life. So in other words, my understanding of this scripture is that so God had created this very particular and important and beautiful place for a human being to be. But, you know, they had not really engaged in the process, and God had actually become very angry because they had violated what God had said. They had violated God's command in a way. So they were taken away from that place. But I like what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, then they put a creature with a flaming sword, so that no one will have access again to the tree of life. So in other words, what God was actually saying is that these people, they have sinned before me, they have they violated what I have said, so they can't have access, because before they had access, before they were there, before they were living there, and before it was okay, it was beautiful. Now, so when you read the Bible, what you then understand is that the Bible then explains that because men had sinned before God, so everything became a limit now. You know, even the life they lived was now kept. They are no longer living, you know, life forever. You know, now that they had done that, you know, there was enemy. They became enemies with animals they were friendly to, for example. You know, the serpent became an enemy, and God actually said that, you know, this is what's going to happen now. They are going to be enemies, and if the if the is the snakes find a person they will want to strike on the person, because they are now becoming enemies. So in the whole process, what we then find is that it's now different. The Garden of Eden is not accessible anymore. The Tree of Life is not accessible anymore. But now when we read the Bible, which we are now then going to read, I want us to understand this in yourself. God had given an opportunity to these people, our forefathers, shall we say. But because of what then happened, the opportunity was then removed. And that's why the Bible then says he put then the flaming, the creatures with the flaming sword, so that no one will get access. Very important. No one will get access. No one. So which means the human beings who were created then became part of the cursed generation, if you like. Because now they were now born of men who had sinned before God. They were now born out of men who had sinned before God. And actually, if you read the Bible says that the man now shall eat of his own sweat. Because the Bible says they shall till the ground where they come from. You see, so things became now difficult and things became different. So here's the thing now. Now, when I read throughout the Bible, I don't see where it then says those angels or those cherubims or the flaming sword was then removed, that people can now have a free access to, you know, to the Garden of Eden. I don't see it anyway. But here's the thing. Now we're going to go into the Bible again. And let us read the Bible from the book of John. So we hear, this is now, we are going all the way to John and to understand what God says to us, because we are still going in the same process. Remember, here we have got no access whatsoever to the Tree of Life, no access whatsoever to the Garden of Eden, no access whatsoever, you know, to that which God has promised. But here's the thing. So let us read the Bible in the book of John, chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 3. The Bible says, so John 3, verse 3. That's what we're reading. John 3, verse 3. And then the Bible says, Jesus and Nicodemus. Verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus answered, I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Okay, so we'll stop there. But I'll repeat. Jesus answered, I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Let's go on. And the conversation continued. Verse 4 says, how can a grown man be born again? Nicodemus asked. He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time. 5, I'm telling you the truth, replied Jesus. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised, because I tell you, you must be born again. We'll stop there for now. So what we have understood now, in our scripture, we have found that because men had sinned before God, and we have seen that men had violated God's command, we have seen that men has been moved away from the Tree of Life. In other words, men has been moved away from the kingdom of God. Because if you look at the Eden, the way it's explained and the way it was, you can actually see that, you see, God had created a place and an environment where Adam would just be there, and he doesn't have to do anything extraordinary. The Bible only talks about just working in the garden. So in other words, what he has done now, he has been moved away from the presence of God. He has been moved away from the kingdom of God, because I would say the kingdom of God. Why? Because that was the place which God had created him for. And that was the place which was an ideal place for a man to live. That was a place which, a tranquil place, and a place which really had everything. And they actually had, there was no cap whatsoever of years. There was no limit of whatsoever. But all they needed, had a limit for, was that they needed not to have access to the tree of life. But here's the thing now, they have violated God, and God is not pleased. They have not been moved out. And the Bible says, then he put the cherubim, the flaming sword, turning around so that no one will have access back into Eden, or access to the tree of life. It was stopped. It was closed. But here's the thing now. Years have passed by. Here the Bible, when Jesus came, the Bible actually says, no one shall enter the kingdom of God. In other words, think about it in this way. No one is going to go back to that access to the tree of life. No one is going back to the kingdom of God. No one is going back, to the presence of God. Unless, because remember they were now living a cursed life. Even ourselves, we live a cursed life. Because that's the Bible says. The Bible cursed, God cursed the land. That's what the Bible says. So whoever is born of woman, whoever is a product of woman, or whoever is born of woman, we are being born into this place which was cursed. But that's not the end of life. The Bible then says, no one will see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So which means that we have to go through the transformational process of people who were not fit to be the people who can be fit. But we have to understand that there was the blood which was shed at the cross by Jesus Christ, that he gives us the access. But anyway, the Bible says no one will see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So we have to go through again the transformational process, where we are then transformed to the people who are cursed and people who cannot access the kingdom of God, to be the people who God now starts to accept. Why? Because they've been born again. So Jesus then explained, and he says, of course, no one will have to go back to their mother's womb, but it's a process of being born again. And then he says, born of water and spirit. Now, so when we are being baptized, we have got the symbol of dying together with Christ and arising together with Christ. So which means we now go through the transformation from one form to another, so that we can then be able to access this kingdom of God which God is talking about. You see, so the issue of change and transformational is very important. Here the Bible then says, unless if someone is born of water, you have to be baptized. Unless someone is born of water. Remember Jesus says, now go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. Now go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Remember, born of water. No one cannot see the kingdom of God unless if they are born again. Jesus explains, then he says, they must be born of water. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So which means they need to go through the transformational process physically. And then the Bible says, look, I'm with you until the end of the age. But baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here, what does the Bible say? The Bible actually says, no one will enter the kingdom of God until they are born of water. Again, and spirit. Jesus says, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They need to go through the transformation. They need to go through the transformation. But when they go through the transformation, it's not only that, but they now live a new life. Now it's not you who is living anymore, but it's now Jesus is now living in you. Why? Because you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now it's not you who live anymore, but the Christ who now lives in you. So it's the transformation which we have to go through. But this, what I'm talking about, is actually a physical symbol of doing it. But then, when you are baptized in the Spirit, it means that we are now being transformed to be the people who God wants us to be. We can't please God with our own flesh, but we need to do things once we are transformed. We are now understanding, focusing on things of the Spirit. You see, it's very, very important. So the issue of transformation, being transformed in that respect, is very, very important. Not only that, but then when we are now baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it now means that we are living a new life. Now, once we are living a new life, it means that the old is gone, but the new is beginning. We are now living a life of Jesus Christ. We are now, it's not Christ who lives in you anymore. Sorry, it's not you who live anymore, but it's Christ who now lives in you. So it's very important. But now there is there's what we need to do as well ourselves as people. We now need to be able to engage in the process and to be living as the children who wants God us to be. It's very important. It is very, very important. So this is my word today, and I want us to really engage and understand this is the reason why we should be doing what we are doing, to engage in the process. To engage in the process and make sure that we are baptized, and we are not only baptized only, but we are now starting to live a new life. This is very, very important. This is very, very important. So that's my word today. I need you to really understand that the importance of transformation. But the transformation I want you now to do is that not to resist the process, because when you are baptized now, the Bible is now teaching you to do 1, 2, 3, 4 things. But many people start to resist now. When they resist, it means that they are not going to be the children who God wants them to be, simply because they resist the process. Remember when we were talking about becoming. So becoming, it means that you engage in the process to become someone different. You know, you engage in the process to become someone who is different. So we thank God because God gave us this opportunity and to be able to engage in the process of change and to be able to access the kingdom of God and to be able to be the children who God wants us to be. It's very important. So I am saying to you today that, you know, whatever it is that God you said you need to be doing, it means that this is exactly what God wants you to be doing, so that you become the product he wants you to be. So it's a process. You have to engage in the process, and you have to engage in the change which God wants you to go through, and then become the person who God wants you to be. It's very important. So that's my word I want you to focus on, that even if you're a Christian, but are you really engaging in the process of change? And it's a continuous one, because remember the Bible in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, do not be conformed to the standards of this world, but you need to have your mind be renewed every time. So that's the word which we need to be able to understand. And when we do that, then we become the people who God wants us to be. Let us not resist in the process of change, but let's engage in the process of change. When we engage in the process of change, then we become the people who God wants us to be. You see, but we have to meet this prerequisite, which says, you know, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So you have to be born again so that you will be able to be the child who God wants you to be through the process of change or transformational change which God wants you to go through. So that's my word I wanted to share with you today. Very short word, but I wanted to really understand and to engage in the process so that we'll be able to be the people who God wants us to be. But when we resist this change, it means that we are not going to be, we are just going to be Christians by the name, but by the deeds, we are some people different. So thank you very much for listening today. That's my words. And it's very short, and I wanted you to really concentrate and get this, and then be able to engage in the process and be the children who God wants you to be. So we are going to come to a time where we are going to pray together. And then when we pray together, then we continue to, you know, to go there and just explore the scriptures yourselves. So may God bless you, and may you continue to be the people who God wants to be by engaging in the process. So we're going to pray. Let us all bow our heads as we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word. We pray that, Father God, you continue to be with us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, and we pray that you continue to be with your church, with your children, and your children who are hearing the word today. We pray that, Father God, they continue, Father God, to understand you and to engage in the process of change. We thank you, my God. We honor you. We glorify your holy name. And we commit everyone who is listening and those who are not listening, that God, you continue to be with them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank God. We thank God that you continue to bless you. We thank God that you continue to be with us every time. And we continue to move in the way which God wants you to move. So that's my word today. I want to thank you for your listening, and I want to thank you for everything. May God bless you, and may you continue to stand firm. May you continue to engage in the process of change. Remember the word of God says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And remember that when Adam and Eve, when they sinned before God, they were chased out of the Garden of Eden. And you see, God put a guide, if you like, the angel and the flaming fire, so that no one will come back to the kingdom of God. But here God gives us the access again, and he says no one can see the kingdom of God unless if they are born again. So you are redeeming that cursed being of us to be transformed, to be the new people, like what the word of God has explained. So that when we do that, then we have access to the kingdom of God. Remember, the Bible says no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And when they are born again, they are now adopting a new being, because the Bible says you have to be born in water and also in spirit. And remember, Jesus, when he was teaching, he said, go and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the whole process of that, you are like being changed, you know, from one form to another. So that's my way today. May we embrace the word, and may we continue to understand this. But that's not only the end. That's not the end. But you also have now to live according to a Christian, how the Christian values and how God wants you to live. Things like love and things like, you know, being able to worship God and keep the commands and walk in the ways which God wants you to be doing. So they are very like doable things, very things which you need to be actually doing physically. So that's my way today. May God bless you, and thank you very much for listening today. Thank you very much. Amen.